Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilbore. It's Carol Pesci. It is myself. I is a Frankenberry, and we're back for another show here. I mean, we haven't had a new one in a little bit. It's summertime. People taking some summer breaks, and, guests also are taking summer vacations. So, trying to get a handle on some of them. It's just a time to take a little bit of a break. But, ladies, how are you doing?
Well, we're here fresh and new. That sounds like if I ever make like my own deodorant, I'm going to call it fresh and new.
There you go. and you're going to have a commercial where you show us your armpits. Nice. Thank you.
No, God, don't even get me started on that commercial. Oh, my God. No.
What commercial?
A specific one? What are you talking about?
Carol, yeah. You know the one I'm talking about, because we have a friend who shall remain nameless right now. Who tried that? So there's a
Lumi.
Yes, and she's a gynecologist, and she created this, and you put it on with your hands. It looks like a cream. Which, first of all, that grosses me out. Second of all, the commercials are the worst. And you know me, guys. I know a thing or two about commercials.
And self care products.
And a whole lot of self care products. But when she gets on there and starts talking about pitch your privates and whatever else she says, I'm like, wow. No. But we have a friend who tried it, and I'm not going to say.
I'm not going to say what she said because I don't want to diss the brand.
Yeah. I don't want to eat it.
That's right. I don't want to say what she said because I don't want to diss the brand, even though what she said disses the brand, and I just did diss the brand. But I'm not.
Yeah, you're right. I kind of did, but I wasn't specific about it.
That's okay. Just hey, look, I'm sure there's plenty of folks out there who are enjoying it at the same time. So, it's a to each his own kind of thing, I'm sure.
Exactly. So we are here fresh and new, even though yes, a lot of our guests are taking a little time off. I don't blame them. So what we're going to do in this show is we are going to replay a guest who will go down in our history as having probably the best, I'm going to say it, sexiest. Other than Frankenberry, the sexiest radio voice around.
Yeah.
Yes. The first words that came out of his mouth a few weeks ago when we were interviewing him, the first
words,
thing I thought of.
Plural? Yeah, words? It was like, hello.
And okay. Oh, yes. There was that.
Went,
yes.
What?
And I went, oh my God, it's the voice of God.
Yes. And if you haven't tuned in, if you missed his show, we're talking about Corey Allen, who is an author, a podcast host, and a big time influencer. And I did this last time and I'm doing it again. Is it influencer or influencer? Anyway, he wrote a book.
Influencer.
Called- influencer?
Yes.
Influencer. He wrote a book called Brave New You, which I am now listening to for the second time. And it's just an amazing book. And we had talked about this when we interviewed him the first time. It just really, one of those books that resonates, at least with me. And I'm sure it'll resonate with a lot of people too. So we're going to replay our fabulous interview with Corey Allen today for anybody who missed it. And even if you didn't miss it, you're going to want to tune in just to listen to him talk.
and also for those out there that do listen to him talk and maybe enjoy it and you say to yourself, I want to get the book. He voices his own audiobook.
Yes.
Yes. Which, Jonna, you did not know to begin with. And in the beginning, you were just listening to the book thinking, whoever voiced this book has got a cool voice. And then you were listening to the content and then you talk to the guy and you're like, holy cow, it's you. You voiced your own book.
That's exactly what happened, which is why I'm now listening to it for a second time.
With the lights turned low and candles burning.
Yes. Candles lit.
Yeah, I look like you in your new studio, Frank Barry.
With my little dollar general $14 lamp. Yes.
Yes. That's what I look like. But speaking of your new studio, we were having a little conversation before we started this show today about you not only have a new studio, but you have some new digs, and you're not digging the HVAC.
Well, that was the first thing to get accustomed to when I moved into my sister's place. And for the audience, just to let you know, I have moved into my my sister's house with my two nephews, one of which is heading into the Air Force soon. Boot camp is on the way, and the other is about a year behind him, wants to do the same. And, you know, so my sister's going to be there by herself soon enough. And, you know, she's got a finished basement. And I was like, well, you know what? I can save a few dollars. And I talked to the boss so I can split time between the radio station studios in Albany, which is where my sister's at. And, you know, and then down in Beacon, continuing to do what I do down there. But the whole time still doing my Beacon job, you know, just remotely. But I get to save a few dollars. I get to live with some family. I get to have myself and two cats with the sniffles as they get used to heavy AC in the basement.
And Frank and Mary, you said you've in almost all of your previous apartments never had central air or really effective air conditioning, which most people would be quite happy about, but you're not.
No, I mean, actually, to tell you the truth, I never had any issue. The only time I ever wanted even some sort of, and it's a good way to put it, you know, not quite effective AC, but I mean, you know, maybe I would put, like in the old place, I put a little window unit in the living room, even though it was a very large living room and the little unit wasn't big enough for it. It was enough to take the edge off, and the girls liked that, and they would sleep on the couch. And, even at the old place when I was with the ex, I had one of those droid looking window units with an exhaust pipe upstairs in the attic. Then I moved to an apartment. Same thing with the AC droid. Then the other apartment where there was central AC, but it went down early and I, you know, and it was very expensive to fix. And I said, don't worry about me. I'm fine.
Frankenberry, I want to take a little poll because you might be an outlier, and I want to find this out. So, okay, in terms of for the three of us, and Carol, you can include Craig. So let's say the four of us. What is your perfect sleeping climate like? Perfect sleeping climate.
For me, it would be I would set the AC at 70. That's cool enough for me at night. And if it's like the fall or winter, windows open, lower than that and bundled up with blankets. If I did not have AC in the summer at night, I would be freaking miserable. I would not be able to sleep.
Really? Like a fan's not going to cut it?
Nope.
But in the winter, you like cold air, warm covers.
Yeah. And
so
summer
basically the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it cool in the room and like heavy covers.
All year round.
Yeah.
So does anybody here sleep in the summer with, like, do you ever toss off the covers altogether and not have, like, not even a sheet, just like...
Oh, I wouldn't be able to stand that either. I wouldn't feel right without a sheet on me.
I never minded that at all. if I was in a place with no AC and I just had some fans going, I was A-okay with
without
that.
A sheet on you?
Nope, no, fine.
So you would be okay with no cover whatsoever, Frankenberry, just letting everything all hang out?
Not necessarily letting everything all hang out, but and yes, I don't mind having a sheet over me. But if for some reason I kicked it off in the middle of the night, it wasn't like I had to in a deep sleep go find it. Now I'm fine without it. The only time I ever really needed any kind of even a nominal version of AC was just because I wanted to try to do something for the girls to make them a little more comfortable, or the girls and boys when some others were still around.
And for our audience, he's referring to his cats, not actual.
Yes,
not exactly. His harem.
Yes, yeah,
right.
Yes.
Now that begs a whole other question, because I could not imagine sleeping without having a cover to hang on to kind of curl up in. Mm-hmm. I probably the only time I've ever slept like without any sort of cover is if I slept because I had 18 margaritas and plopped on the bed and just, you know, passed out. But yeah, no, covers are mandatory.
Yeah. Yeah, I would feel weird without something.
Because Frankenberry, you probably also, I mean, this is a little personal, but do you wear jammies?
Now because he's freezing.
Yeah, actually, yeah. This is the first time I've ever wore jammies and slept under a comforter in the middle of the summer.
Uh-huh. And I won't ask you, Curly. Like, there was a time when I didn't sleep with jammies, but now I'm a, and when I say jammies, I'm like a boxer short tank top sleep type girl. But that's mostly for, like, some people might do that for comfort, because obviously, like, boxer, and I'll even say this, Carol, you'll be surprised. Many of my boxer shorts are flannel. Go figure.
Here's what else is surprising. That I spotted that. I spotted that in your recent Facebook post when you were clutching your wine glass between your legs, taking a picture of your dirt cats. I was like,
that took talent and strength. If there were an Olympic event for keeping a wine glass upright using only your inner thigh muscles, I'd have the gold, the silver, and the bronze. But mostly, I think I like to sleep with the boxers and the tank top, because here's what happens to me right before I lay my head on the pillow. I'll be like, okay, if something happens and I have to get up in a hurry and get out, I'm not going to be that person running down the street naked, you know, yelling, call 911, right? I at least have to look okay while I'm running for my life. So I do keep a little pair of shoes by the bed, and I sleep with my shorts and my tank top. So, because you never know when you're going to have to run screaming from a house.
Emergency preparedness.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I don't get, Jonna?
What?
The nightgown.
Oh,
I was a kid, I used to wear them sometimes, but try rolling over in bed in a nightgown and they become like you're wringing out like a rag. Like, you get all twisted. Did you wear them when you were little?
And that is so annoying. I have worn a nightgown or two, but when I get wrapped up in a nightgown, that is so annoying. And really, I only have memories of like my grandmother wearing a nightgown. Although, you know, in the winter, I think we got them as Christmas gifts. Again, flannel.
Yeah, as a kid I did, but God, it's really not a really intelligent pajama. And I'm busy at night. Like, I'm a dart on my side, flip to my back, go to the other side, fold one leg up like a jackknife. Like, I'm always, I'm moving around a lot. I'm with you there, in a too. Nightgown.
You know,
as an adult,
I get my boxer shorts bunched up enough. I can't even imagine having all that extra stuff.
Oh my God, it's awful.
speaking of boxers bunched up, I think this was real, but you never know because it was on the interweb. One of the Olympic
drivers
or swimmers or something.
No. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
No, I'm not talking about the open. Well, that it happened in the opening ceremony big time.
No, I'm talking about the pole vaulter, but go ahead.
Oh, we should try to get him on this show.
I have a feeling he's already spoken for by every major network and cable news channel. Yes.
But not for the reasons we want him. No, they want him to talk about his, you know, career and his athleticism and his brains. We don't care about any of that.
We just want to know how you turn the pole vault into something so romantic and beautiful.
And when we interview him, we're going to say, The interview is video, so you have to keep your video on, and we do it standing. So,
and while in the other ear, she's piping in Corey Allen to listen.
That's right.
That was
so. What were you going to say that didn't have to do with the pole vaulter guy?
I think I saw, and I think it's real, but don't quote me. That one of the divers had a little slippage. A little slippage.
I didn't hear or see anything about that.
Well, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but.
Yeah, that I couldn't tell you. That I couldn't tell you. I have not watched the Olympics. I haven't paid any attention to them whatsoever. So I don't know.
And anything you see lately, too, it's like, is that really real? Like, it's, you just don't know anymore.
Oh, God. You absolutely don't know, especially with the AI.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's
so,
real.
Jonna, why have you showed up today as cat scratch fever? Do you have a cat story?
Oh, I have a cat story, and I'm glad I have a cat expert to ask this of. Frankenberry.
Yes, the second time. I'm still here.
I don't want to be nervous about this, but lately, this week, I have found, I'm going to say it's a total of three at this point, cat claws. Just random on the floor, on the bed. Like cat claws.
Yeah, well, they just shed them off. It's like a cover. It comes off. I mean, that's what cat scratchers are for. Cat scratchers are.
I thought they just like kept them filed. They actually come out and new ones come in.
Yeah. No. I mean, the claw itself doesn't come out, but I think the claw does. You know, it eventually kind of grows a little bit of a cover that then comes off, kind of like a skin on a snake.
Oh, or like the shell on a shrimp.
Right, because you can see if you look at it, it's not an act. It does actually look a little bit like a shell.
It does.
It's hollow.
Yeah.
It's the exact size and shape of a claw.
But it's hollow.
Yes. And okay. I've never noticed that in the last, I've had these dirt cats, three of them I've had for almost exactly a year. A year. And I've never noticed that before. So that's normal.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Phew.
Yeah, they're not going to suddenly start limping and crying at you.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I was hoping.
Except like, Quinn.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
I was hoping that it was hers. I'm like, maybe the universe doesn't want her to murder me after all. but that's good that it's not harmful and it's normal because I was not sure about that.
So, Jonna, all five of your cats are in one room, right? They have their own bedroom?
Yes. So do you have to put a number on it? Do you have to say all five? Can you just say all? Huh?
I just want to know,
have they put up a sign yet on the outside of their bedroom door that says keep out?
I do have a sign.
That they're getting older?
Felines only.
Yeah.
I have a sign with all their names on it outside the door.
I want a picture of that.
In there. I'll give you a picture. I do. All their names.
So do you go in there and hang out in the evening? Is what it looks like.
I go in there and hang out with them all the time. I make sure I hang out with them in the morning. Before I leave, no matter what time, even if it's at 3, because I got to get on a train at, 6, I hang out with them in the morning. I make sure I hang out with them in the evening. And every once in a while, I'll sleep over and we'll have a little sleepover.
And do all of them cuddle with you except for Quinn, the one that wants to murder you?
No, only one of them cuddles with me. They each have their own level of tolerance of me being in there. Now, they all love me except for Quinn, the murderous dirt cat. But even she will like come up and she'll bite my foot and then run away. And, but Mojo has to be attached to me like a barnacle. And she was such a fraidy cat in the beginning. She wouldn't come near me for love or money. And now she's a total mush.
Oh,
good for her.
Yeah. I like that metamorphosis. I guess you could say she got brave. Boom. Boom. You saw it coming. You saw it coming.
Yes, we did.
Oh, because I was going to jump off there. And then you started to. I'm like, okay.
So with that, Sagu, we are reminding our loyal listeners that we are going to replay our interview with Corey Allen, who is a big time author, podcast host, and influencer. Who wrote Brave New You, one of my favorite books, narrates it on Audible in his own voice, which is second only to our own Frankenberry in terms of second. And that is all coming up after this break.
All right, that sounds good. And I don't think that the audience is going to think that he is second only to me once they hear this dude speak. But anyway, Corey Allen is on the way. The interview we are going to replay. And we'll be back with some more with Jonna Spilgore and Carol Pesci right after this.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilgore. It is Carol Pesci. It is that guy they let hang around. And it is time also to get to another guy this morning. And we're going to be talking with Corey Allen. Right, Jonna?
We are. And this is like a double treat speaking with Corey Allen, because not only did he write a fabulous book that we're going to talk all about, but this is radio And man, does this guy have a voice for it. So without further ado, we are joined by Corey Allen, who is an author, podcast host, and influencer from Austin, Texas. Allen, he writes daily thoughts on mindfulness and mental clarity for his large, very large Instagram following, reaching over 1 million people a week. He has been featured in the New York Times. He's just dropped his newest book, Brave New You, A Roadmap to Believing That More is Possible. I can't wait for words to come out of his pie hole, people. Wait for it. Corey Allen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your real voice. Women are going to be swooning during this show. Like, you could, you know what, do me a favor, say something that would not be sexy at all, because it's going to sound sexy. Like, I don't know, talk
Corey,
about
Corey, I'll give you a tip. I have mayonnaise on my lip, excuse me.
I mean, honestly, that sounds pretty sexual to me.
Yeah. No, I think you should go with something
Jonah
more like...
Jonah broke up with somebody for that once. That's why I'm suggesting it. Did.
But I think if you just said something like, I work at Mel's Tool and Die.
Yeah, say that.
I'll do one. I'll try and think of the least sexy thing I can, which I'll just say, air traffic controller.
Oh, yes.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for playing with us, Corey.
It's my pleasure. Yeah.
Your voice is amazing, but even more amazing is we want to talk about your newest book, Brave New You. And I'm going to tell you a little secret because you don't know us, but normally how we find our guest, Corey, is we either see something on social media that resonates with us and then we reach out, or we see something that resonates with us and then we do a lot of stalking and then we reach out. You have a new stalker. That's me. And I was mentioning to you off air that I'm about halfway through this book, and this Carol and I consume a lot of, you know, I'll say self-help, inspirational, motivational.
Sound like you're going to say alcohol and then you stop yourself.
We consume a lot of books. Not all of them land. Yours is so resonating with me that I'm very excited to talk to you. So thank you for writing it. So aside from me espousing how wonderful your book is, why don't you start with a little bit about you? What made you write Brave New You?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me and also for all the kind words there. I mean, the short of it is that I started paying attention closely to, you know, the amount of feedback I get to my writing online, to how people comment, the endless kind of DMs that I get, the comments and everything. And I started paying attention to what was it that people were really trying to find in their lives? Like, what's the root issue that all these people are facing? And as you mentioned, my content reaches about 1 million people a week. So that's a pretty good test sample of people that I could study and sort of observe. And I started just writing down notes of, like, what are the themes and the ideas that are really resonating with people that I'm sharing? And how can I find, like, a way to connect all of those? What's the core issue? And it really surprised me is that it seems as though almost everyone feels like that a better life, whatever that means for them, that could be something small. It could be a small personal change. It could be a huge professional change, whatever it is, that it's right at their fingertips, but they can't quite figure out the pathway, how to get there. And the frustration comes because they can feel the arising emotion. They can feel the passion, the drive, the desire to make that change and to step into this different version of themselves, but they can't quite figure out how to break it loose, turn the key, and open that door. So I thought about my own experience in life, and I thought about how I've done that and what are the necessary steps, not just theoretically, but what are the actions that people can take from where they are right now all the way through to a place to where they are moving into the future. And where, this is where the title comes from. Ultimately, this all comes down to being able to hear the intuitive voice inside of you. Listen to the thing that makes you feel alive, inspired, the feeling that's guiding you throughout your life, and actually trusting that instead of denying that, instead of allowing the negative self-talk to talk you out of listening to what feels right to you, and allowing the influence of other people and culture and family and society and so forth and so forth to essentially manipulate you in some way to denying your own instinct. And the more that we can listen to that sense of self with clarity and learn how to disarm the negative, the thinking habits and behavioral habits that keep us from acting on that, the more we can live an intentional life. And the more we live with intention and clarity in the present moment, then the more that we will build meaning, will trust ourselves, we'll feel confident, and we'll continuously move into a life of curiosity and openness and excitement, as opposed to one of calcification and numbness and self-denial.
Corey, what would you say to someone who said, okay, I get that, and it sounds hard?
I would say it's not hard. What it is is that, and I would say I hear you and I understand that it sounds hard, but let me break it down into small bites for you. Really, it's easy and it's simple. You just need direction to understand how to make it start happening. And that happens with a bunch of tiny, really simple steps. There's a reason in the book I have a whole section about setting attainable goals, because the building the self-confidence, building the self-belief to be able to, you know, walk your own path comes from doing something super small. And because it's just a functionality, it's like a process we need to learn one time. And once we learn it once, then we can repeat it again and again and again. And it just continues to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So, for example, let's just say that someone is sitting around and they're like, I don't feel very good about myself. I don't feel like my appearance and whatever, my confidence. So they might go, all right, well, what can we do? Maybe we'll buy a couple of new pieces of clothing. Maybe we'll get some new shoes. Maybe we'll change something about our hair or our appearance. And then you go out, you grab some new clothes. Maybe you feel a little bit better. You feel a little bit more confident in yourself. You feel sort of refreshed in this really small way. If we zoom out and look at what happened there, the function of the mind was someone used their self-awareness to notice the way that they were feeling, notice what was holding them back, and then decided an action that they could do that was very simple that would then solve that problem. And by doing that, they then feel better and have a little bit more energy and a little bit more sense of self in their life. That's a really tiny example, but once you do that once, it's valuable because then you can look back and you can reflect on that and go, hey, you know what? I was feeling kind of down. I noticed something that would make me feel better. I followed through with it. And now I actually feel a palpable change. And it's that moment where once you realize that once, then you go, you know what? I'm going to do that again, but in a different area of life. And I'm going to do that small thing again and again and again. And those things start building until they become really big. And then you find yourself going, you know what? I am going to start that business. And you have this sense of confidence because now you have this track record behind you of proving that you can observe something that is, you know, that you want to change, and that you can analyze it, make that change, and move forward.
Corey, this is a powerful message. You're saying success in general, self-confidence is a process. I think we believe that if we're not feeling about ourselves in a way that we want to feel, when the circumstances in our lives aren't where we want it to be, something big has to change. I got to radically change, and we are not wired for change. And you are coming along saying baby steps. It's a process. Step back from feeling overwhelmed and say, just do this little thing and this little thing, this little thing. And what's coming to mind right now is when you look at superstar musicians, and we see them because all of a sudden they burst on the scene and we think, wow, they got their big break. Well, American Idol and those shows, maybe that occasionally happens, but it's typically not that way. It's taking repetitive action. It's keep moving forward, little steps become powerful change.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, that's a really important part of it. It's really important. And if we think about it a bit more deeply, like radical change is inherently impulsive. If you're like, I'm going to sell everything and move to wherever, that's an impulsive decision. That's not a grounded decision. And impulsive decisions are chaotic, and because they're chaotic, they're therefore unstable, and they are they can tend to have the same negative effect as they do in the sense of what they would be positively, right? Because they're unstable. So they're not going to solve the problem. It's just going to add more dynamic of to the chaos of your own existence. So the small consistent actions are really valuable because they're clear, they're intentional, they're grounded in reality. They're not trying to be used as some way to further delude yourself or add more confusion to your life. They're little bricks of clarity that start, as you said, building up and building up and building up. And I love what you brought up about just the consistency of, you know, a musician is the 10-year overnight success is classic for a reason. Mm. It's like, but even people who were successful, I mean, that's the funny thing about it is that even someone who's doing really well, you only see the wins. You only see right. the things that break through because mm-hmm. those are the things that break through. But in between the thing that you saw and then the next thing that you see, there was maybe 24 different attempts that this person took that didn't work out.
Which, yeah. And most people, they don't see that. Just like I think maybe one of the underlying premises about this book also is we forget that it's not, quote, normal to feel crappy. Like it's not like... Life is meant to be happy and bring you joy. So if you're not happy with something and you're not comfortable with something, you know, there's one line of thought that says, well, just be grateful for what you have. And then there's another line of thought that's like, well, you can change it. And I firmly believe in that. And your book, I think, shows people, illustrates to people how you can change that which you do not like. And it's important. It's good to be grateful. Don't get me wrong. I believe in gratitude 100%. But I don't believe in staying stuck if you don't feel good where you are.
Oh, totally. I mean, you could have the worst luck ever and have a terrible life and be suffering, but still go, you know, I'm grateful that at least I'm alive. Now let's move forward. You know, that's kind of the worst case scenario. So yes, I think, you know, being grateful with where you are, what you have and the people in your life, it does not exclude you from also wanting to be able to change. I think those two things actually can work together quite well.
And Coriel, can I read a line from your book?
Sure.
And this has on the topic of your book is Brave New You. You say something to understand is that your mind and body didn't evolve to make you feel good about yourself. Your mind and body evolved to help you survive. Your mind would much rather hit you with a negative thought that shuts you down than to have you wander into a dangerous situation. I'm an analytical girl. I like to understand the why of things. Just reading that line was like, wow. So if I'm not as brave as I think I should be or can be, this is helping me understand fundamentally, this is why.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, growth lives in the unknown, right? And so from an evolutionary psychology point of view, our body doesn't want us to be in the unknown because that's basically like going, we'll walk out into the jungle at night alone. You know, that's the unknown as far as our kind of animal brain is concerned. And so it tries to keep us in these, you know, these familiar patterns. Like Joanna was talking about, these patterns that happen to emerge over our lives just by random chance, because generally people aren't reflective. They're not self-aware. They're not paying attention to what's happening in their life. And so therefore they're just reacting to their life. So life forms around them. And then they mistake what has happened to evolve as what's quote unquote normal. And that sense of normalness appears to be all that there is. And that's why people get stuck. But what we have to do is recognize, as you were just talking about, that we need to intentionally move into the unknown. We need to find that new space because that's where growth lives. And it's only by recognizing of why we feel the resistance, why we feel the fear, then can we bypass that and disrupt that program running inside of us that tries to keep us safe in that way. And so that way we can move into a new area and, you know, expand and grow in the ways that we desire.
Corey, you were talking earlier about, you know, when I said, you know, what if somebody thinks this is hard? And you explained that you can take these small shifts and sort of wash, rinse, repeat. Like once you know how to do a small one, you can move up and you can do more small ones or a bigger one, what have you. But I think the key, correct me if I'm wrong, is that none of this is external. Like all of this change, just you control it because it's in your mind. Like you don't have to, if you want to move into a new house, you don't have to say, well, once I move into the new house, I'll be happy. You can start with a smaller mindset shift that'll get you closer to that external goal, or am I sounding stupid?
No, that's exactly that's exactly right. I mean, everything, ultimately everything comes down to perspective. It's all how we see the world. You know, it's like the, not to get too abstract here, but the, you know, the world appears and exists in our mind, right? Because we are perceiving it. We're looking out of our eyes out into the world. We're taking this kind of like this instrument. We're taking this reading of what the world is like, and how we feel influences how we see the world. If we change how we feel, then it will change how our mind operates, and therefore it will change how the world appears to us. And so all of that change happens internally. And then what's beautiful is that, you know, how we think influences how we feel influences how we act, and how we act influences who we are in the world. So once you change the way that you're thinking about yourself and your perspective on life, then you change the way you feel, because you'll feel more optimistic, you'll feel more powerful, you feel more passionate. That changes how you show up physically. Now, physically, you're signaling more confidence, more sense of grounding, more clarity, and that changes who you are in the world. And then the world starts to respond to you differently.
I love that.
I feel like you're making success and life into a mathematical equation. Not making it. You're helping us see it in that way.
Yes, that's what I try to do. I'm a really logical person, and I like that, because I like to apply it to things that are almost spiritual in a way, because those things are generally so nebulous and difficult for people to understand. And the thing about that is that it makes it, it generally can be as damaging to people, because they misapprehend what those ideas are supposed to mean, and then it just kind of creates more suffering. So I like to really break those things down.
Brilliant.
Into point A, point B, point C, to help people understand them and be able to move through them in their life.
I know we have to wrap up with you soon, but I have a pointed question. I don't know if maybe you can answer before we have to let you go, but what would you say to somebody who gets smacked in the face by something? Like, this is a great roadmap for when you have goals and you want to attain them. What happens if something, a tree falls in your path on the way to doing all this? Is there an easy way to overcome having your face shoved in the dirt?
Yeah, well, I would say not only if that happens, just expect that to happen. I mean, because that's what life is. Life is not a succession of green lights. Life is, and I put this in the book towards the end, it's like things go great, then they suck, then they go great again, then they suck, then they go great. It's just the patterns of how life operates. Life is a collection of joy and suffering, of good luck and bad luck. What matters isn't that, because that's just how life is. What matters is how we engage with those moments in the present. So if something falls, and again, it goes back to perspective. If a tree falls on your life and it screws things up, you can either go, oh, you know, this is terrible. Now, you know, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop trying. This happened to me. Like, I'm being cosmically punished by the universe. Or you can look at it and go, well, this sucks, but what can I learn from this? Maybe I could reflect on this. Or at the very least, you can go, well, this happened. Now, carry on, like move on. There's no reason to stay attached to the fact that something bad's happened to you, and allow it to identify something about yourself and who you are.
Yes, we are who we, how we respond to what happens to us, not what happens to us.
100%.
And this is all really great stuff. And I wish we could talk to you forever, not just because of your content, because of the soothing melodic sounds of your voice, Corey. People can listen to you because you also, in addition to the book, like I said, I have the audio version of Brave New You, but you are also a podcast host, and your podcast is called And Then It Hit Me. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
I love that. So people can subscribe to your podcast wherever podcasts are quote unquote sold. They can get your book, Brave New You, A Roadmap to Believing That More Is Possible. They can find you everywhere on social media at Hey Corey Allen. And I really hope that people will, because I got to tell you, like I said, I'm not quite halfway through, and I'm already feeling like your book, and I'm not saying this to blow smoke, is life changing. honestly life-changing.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful for that, and I really appreciate it. And I thank both of you for having me on and spending this time with me today.
Well, we
thank you, Corey.
Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you very much there, Corey. Much appreciate you taking your time to spend with us. So we will be back. There's still more to come with Happy Hour. John Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and that guy. And we'll be right back with segment number three. So please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
So it was, what did I tell you there, audience? I said voice of God, didn't I?
Gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you think some people are, I mean, I know some people are just born with it. I don't know. We should have asked him that. Were you born with that voice, Corey, or did you work on it? Like, were you going to be a DJ?
I doubt it. Imagine him crying for a bottle with a voice that deep. But I wonder, too, if that's, so I've seen clips of Paris Hilton, who always sounds like a ditz.
Oh,
but
God,
she's been caught in her normal voice. So it's an act for an image she portrays. So I wonder if that's how he talks when nobody's listening.
When he's just watching a baseball game and scratching himself.
Can you imagine if somebody caught the guy in a candid moment and he actually sounds like Mike Tyson?
All right, so how about this? What if you're dating a guy with this kind of voice, right? Like on the first three dates, meet you at a restaurant, that's how he talks. And then after you kind of get to know him, the voice changes. Would that be a deal breaker? Like, wait a minute, you can't go changing your voice on me now.
I would be like, as long as you call me once a day with that voice, I'm fine.
As long as you remind me how this started. Other than that, you can continue right. to talk to me like Mike Tyson in the middle of the night. That's fine.
Yeah. But there are some people, like not famous people, like not like Paris. I've heard both of her voices, and it's really kind of stark, the difference.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bet, like, what's her face? Kim Kardashian, you think she really has that vocal fry all the time? Like, that's like hard to do, don't you think?
Like Fran Drescher.
I was just going to say Fran Drescher is the first one that comes to mind, but she's always been pretty genuine with her voice. I'm sure she played it up a little bit for the show, for the nanny, but like her voice, that's just her voice. She just sounds like a Long Islander.
Yeah, she might play it up a little bit too. I notice people in real life like sometimes have a phone voice versus a conversational voice. Like, thank you for calling. Jonas Spilborg Law, how may I help you?
Oh, yeah, right. And you would never like, hi, what are you guys doing this weekend?
Right. And then you get off the phone and you're like, hey, who wants lunch? You want pizza? You want soup? What do you want?
Yeah.
Exactly. I have this one friend of mine who has this this one habit of when you call him that he will sometimes answer the phone with, hey, what are you doing?
What
I'm like, wearing? I just want every time he said, I was like, dude, can you stop doing that, please? Okay, all right. I didn't call a 976 number back in the 80s. All right, dude.
And is he messing with you on purpose?
No, he might be. He probably sees the name, you know, like if it's like me or somebody else, you know, and then does that. But sometimes, like, okay, stop that.
Well,
how do you, what's your answer to the phone voice?
I don't know. You call, I mean, well, that's, I would say.
Yeah, we're not going to call you.
Yeah, you guys don't call me, so you wouldn't know, would you? It's just like, you know, the phone rings. It's usually just a, hey, hello. Yeah, what's going on? It's me. It's just my voice.
I have a really funny friend who has a very cool dog named Larry, and he created a LinkedIn profile for Larry. And his profile picture is actually Larry. It's a dog. And he got a phone call one day and somebody was looking for Larry. So clearly it was spam. And he would say nothing other than, no matter what the guy said to him or asked him, he's like, I'm looking for Larry. Do I have the right number?
That is hilarious. That is funny.
Oh gosh.
So I'm looking, before we go, I have something to say that's totally it's going to feel like it's coming out of left field, but Carol, your Zoom picture is a picture of your three books, Happy Biz, 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days, and Hello Beautiful, which is not the order in which they were written, but I wanted to tell you this and I almost forgot. This is how awesome sometimes things will stick with people. So random story here. Earlier in the week, I happened to bump into a woman who I went to high school with and she's a couple years older than me. I went to high school with her, hadn't really run into her in like 40 years. And then maybe within the last, I don't know, decade, I bumped into her at someplace that I can't even remember, but one time. So it's not like we're friends. We don't have a relationship, but I remember, you know, we were kids together. And she said to me, and I hadn't seen her in years, and a random bumping, she said to me, "Oh my God, you're not going to believe this, but I remember the last time I ran into you," meaning the last time she ran into me, "and she was going through something, and I handed her one of Carol's books, and I said, read this and get back to me." And she said, "I had that book for the longest time," and she's like, "the name is escaping me." And I said, "It had to be Happy Bitch, because I was handing that book out to clients of mine." I mean, that was the first one that you wrote, but it was so helpful to people who were like in some sort of life struggle. Yep. And she kept that book and remembered that book. And I've run into her twice in the last 40 years, and that was top of her mind. So I wanted to let you know that.
Wow. Thank you, Brian. I will never get tired of hearing that. Thank you.
That's a cool story, right?
Yeah, it is. Look, when you take, we've talked about this before, and Happy Bitch was born out of a really difficult time when I found out my ex was having an affair and I moved out and changed jobs. And I was like just devastated at the time. But was really reflective about, okay, this was awful, but I'm not defined by this event. I'm defined by what I do with that. Where am I going to go next? And most important of all, what good can I do with this experience? So for anybody who goes through something difficult, I think that's our call. It's like the hero's call. Okay, it was awful. You have every right to be angry, sad, grieve, everything. But what can you do with it that can benefit the life of another person? And that was my reason for writing Happy Bitch. And so when I hear feedback like this, it brings purpose to the crap you've gone through. And when, whether it's writing a book or anything else, we always have that power and that choice to say, what good can I do with this?
And that's that's very cool. Very cool to see to see the actual results of such. So nicely done.
And the randomness of it. So I had to make sure I told you that.
Thank you.
I think that's it's a happy note to end on. Happy Bitch.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. So to Corey Allen, thank you again for joining us this morning, even though you did not know you did. And for Jonna Spielborn, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. And thank you again for listening to Happy Hour this morning. And we'll be back again next week. Same time right here. So please mark that down on your calendars and make time.
Guys, you're not going to wish a certain person a little happy birthday tomorrow?
Oh,
when this show airs,
okay,
somebody's going to be nursing a hangover.
Okay, and I thought, okay, that's fine. It wasn't on front of mind. I mean, it was. I know it's coming up, but not when this show was going to air and how it related to a certain someone's birthday. Okay. But I didn't think you were one to call attention to turning a year older. But happy birthday, Jen.
Thank you.
And my apologies for forgetting there, Spielborg.
No, it's okay. I'm not turning a year older. I'm not bringing attention to turning a year older. I'm just bringing attention to having a reason to celebrate.
Okay.
And bring attention to yourself.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Hey, what are we doing? Hey, guess what I did today? What? I woke up. Let's celebrate.
Right? Why not?
But anyway, so thank you all for listening, and we will be back again next week, same time, right here. Happy birthday, Spielborg, with Happy Hour with Jonathan, Carol, and myself. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spielbohr and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.